Today, Dr. Herbert Bailey continues with Man to Man, the Hands of a Man.
Men plant. Men plant. To plant is to take something that you have to start something new. Take something you have to now start something new. Whether that's planting financially, whether that's planting a business, whether that's planting a family. And I want to talk a little bit kind of about all of those in that context, okay? So the plant is to take something that you, to take something that you have to start something new, okay? Pastors like me, we traditionally call them, people like me, pastors like me, founding pastors, okay? The more church term that they use now is a church planter. So I planted this church here in Columbia, South Carolina. I planted a church in Orangeburg. I planted a church in Florence. They're known as a church planter. Putting something there that wasn't there before. Starting something new. That's what men do. Many of you, you're entrepreneurs. An entrepreneur is a planter. You're starting something that didn't exist before. That's something that men do. And as men, let's talk about this from a family perspective. You plant families. Let me say this again. As men, you plant families, not just make babies. It's different between planting a family and making a baby. Oh, this is so good. It's coming to me now as I'm teaching this here. It's different between planting a field and growing some weeds. A weed can grow accidentally. Okay? We're over, Pastor Trey and I were over one of my houses that I'm still trying to sell, and we were out there and in the yard, and I know that area was cleared off some years ago. And I said, look at those weeds growing over there. First I thought it was just something that had fallen down from the tree. I said, just move those over. We went over there. It's a whole other bush that started, but when I looked at it looked just like the tree. So apparently it was some seeds or whatever over time from that tree that started, and now watch it, it's reproduced, but it wasn't intentional. It wasn't intentional, and there's no particular care given to it. We don't just make babies, we plant families. As men, God called us to plant families. Everybody say plant families. Okay, plant family. In Genesis 12, when God calls Abraham, he says, now the Lord said to Abram, get thee out of the country, from your kindred, from your father's house. All right? Unto a land that I'm going to show you. Leave here, go someplace new. He says, I'm going to make of thee a great nation. I'm going to start a new family from you. I'm going to make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, curse them that curse thee, and these shall all families of the earth be blessed. He said, I'm going to start something new with you. I want you to leave where you are, go to where I'm telling you, and I'm going to start raise up a new family from you that's going, God really called it a nation. And so he left. I consider it a privilege to go to a homegoing of one of our, William Starks, his father-in-law passed away, and I know of the family for his wife, and I don't really know him, but you know, when you go to people's home going, you find out about the family, okay? And so I always knew that this is one of these successful families in our community, okay? But I started hearing about started with the father and how he was he went to C.A. Johnson. Biography or obituary didn't particularly talk about him being specifically college educated, anything like that. But he went into the military. He learned how to cook. He came out and became a chef. He was one of the first African American chefs of the old Sheraton, another hotel that apparently he was 85 years old. So another hotel that years ago I hadn't heard of, the Coldstream Country Club, and I live up in that area. And people used to tell me years ago that was the place over here, Coldstream, you know. And then seeing his children, you know, and how all of them doing well and successful. And then his granddaughter, some of y'all remember the family, y'all remember Kimberly Aiken. His granddaughter ended up being Miss America, right? Miss America. Okay? And then I'm looking now his daughter and their children, so that would be in some another set of grandchildren, they're in our church. Okay? One of the daughters just graduated from college, another young man, he's doing well. And so I looked at this and I said, and when I saw it, I said, the way people talking about, and the pastor brought Abraham, talking about Abraham. He said, talking about what this man has done, how he was a blessed man, because look at his family. Look at his family. You know, the older you get, brothers, you're going to realize with all the stuff you get, that can't be your legacy. Nobody's going to be, I can assure you, nobody's going to be at your funeral talking about what kind of car you used to drive. I'm telling you. Nobody's going to be there saying, man, he used to drive a nice car, man. I'm telling you. No. But they will talk about your children. They'll talk about your family. They'll talk about legacy. They'll talk about how you affected other people's lives. God wants us to plant families. Not make babies. Not just have children, but plant families. Okay? Psalms 107, verse 41 says this. Yet setteth he the poor on high from affliction. That was me. Boy from the projects in Jersey City, New Jersey. I'm the one that I believe God has taken me from the poor and set me on high from my affliction. Praise God. Yet setteth he the poor, that's Psalm 107:41. Setteth he the poor on high from affliction and maketh him families like a flock. God said, I'll take one person, raise that person up, start a whole new family. That when you look at his family, you never believe he came from that. That's what God wants to do with every one of us. I don't care where you came from. God can do something new with you. I don't care how dysfunctional your family was, whether you knew your father, didn't know your father, whether your father was a junkie like mine was, and then after he stopped being a junkie, then he was on the methadone. They take you off one addiction, give you addicted to the methadone, probably less lethal, I guess. And then when he got off the methadone, he spent the rest of his life being an alcoholic. He died on the streets, an alcoholic. Okay? And regardless of whether you come from a background like that, or you can, and whether you knew your father or not, that don't matter. God said, I can make something new with you. If you would submit your life to me, realize my standard for you, I don't care where you came from, I will raise you up. And listen, at some point, y'all, we got to start making excuses. See, because when you're in church like this, excuses over. Amen. When you come to a church like this and I teach you the word of God and I show you and I share my life with you and I tell you my life story. And the reason why I tell you all my life story, I want to let you all know, no excuses. Amen. We all got opportunities. We all have chances. We all make decisions. One out of four. One out of five. I don't know that my older sister ever took drugs. I don't know. But the next three, they all took drugs. I never experimented with it. I'm not saying that to be self-righteous. I didn't have to be righteous. All I have to do was look. Okay, you know, getting high didn't look good on them. Taking drugs didn't make them look good. The results weren't good. Okay, they all dropped out of high school. I saw that I wasn't getting them anywhere. That didn't look like it was working out for them too good. Amen. See, something is just a matter of, all you got to do is look around and say, that looked like a bad choice to me. At some point, you just got to look at other people's choices and say, that just don't look like that's working out too good. Amen. Certain things, you can just look at the lifestyle and see this ain't working out too good. The Bible says, by obeying those that rule over you, he says, who've taught you the word of God. And then it says, considering their conversation. And when you look at the translation, it says, look at the outcome of their lives. Okay? Look at the outcome. So my responsibility for you is to live a life that you can look at the outcome of my life and say, man. Okay, if I live the life my pastor lived, if I walk in the word that he teaches me, then I can have the same kind of result because God's not a respecter of persons. Amen. God's a respecter of faith and he's a respecter of principles. So we ought to be planted. When God decided to start all over again, human race, wipe them out with the flood, He brought Noah in, but notice he just wasn't concerned about Noah. He said, you, your wives, your sons, and what? And their wives. Why? He was concerned about families. Y'all really need to get this. Family is very important to God. Very important. The whole thing about Abraham was about family. And see, my bigger concern today about all the baby making and having the kids out of wedlock, I mean, it isn't even from the sin perspective. Because when you have babies out of wedlock without marriage, we have we have fragmented families. That's the issue. Families. Families are so fragmented. Some people don't know who the parents are. They don't know who the cousins are. One thing I found out when I came down south, y'all got to be careful down here because all y'all related some kind of way. Some of y'all don't find out until you go to the funeral. Some of y'all be sitting there, I should talk to her. Lord Jesus, that's my cousin. Oh, Lord Jesus. Yeah, I don't know if the plantations was close or what, but you got to be careful down here, okay? But we got all these fragmented and disenfranchised families, and watch this. Here's the other thing you don't understand that a lot of other people understand. Not wealth is perpetuated. Families. Wealth is perpetuated through families. The Bible says that Isaac was around Genesis 26. He digged again the wells that his father Abraham had dug. Philistines clogged him up, but he was able to unclog them. I can assure you, unclogging was easier than starting from scratch. Amen. Wealth is perpetuated through families. Wealth increases through families. All of us Americans, we hear about the immigrants who come to this country. Right? And they all get together with some we got jokes about them and everything else. You know, they'll get 15 of them in a 6-passenger vehicle. You know, okay? But they come here and they have 10 of them living in one apartment with 2 bedrooms. But what those people do, they come together and they work together as families. And before you know it, the next generation ain't looking nothing like that. Because they understand families. And you need to understand, God's concerned about families. So we plant families, okay? In Psalms 128, compares children to plants. Look, Psalms 128, verse 3. This is the characteristics of a blessed man. He said, your wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. You see, God's out there. Please understand, y'all. Whenever I teach, because I understand where I am, what you're hearing now. Some of y'all, you didn't hear that 10 years ago. You hear that 15 years ago. Your family could be fragmented. Now you may have kids here and there. I'm not saying it to condemn you. We can't do anything about what's been done. Amen. We just got to make the best of what we can do at this point. But anybody I can prevent from being in your situation, I want to do that. Amen. So he says, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. You see, God's ideal is that your children in the same house around the table. Not here and there and here and there. Verse 6 says, thou shalt see, then he says, you'll see your children's children. That's your grandchildren. And peace upon Israel. You'll see your children's children. My father never saw his grandchildren. I'll be 55 this year. Y'all stop. I know I only look 30. Y'all stop. Y'all going to make me blush. Stop it. It's going to make me blush. Okay? But I'll be 55 this year. My father died at 53. I'm living old. My mother died at 45. I'm already live older than both of my parents. Okay? It's the will of God for you to see your children's children. The will of God for you to be a grandparent and know your grandchildren. For your children to love you, looking forward to seeing you, whether you're papa or granddad or big daddy or whatever. Okay? That's the will of God. That's what God has in mind for you. So when you're just having sex with somebody, think about that. That's what God got in mind for you. My children here and children there. God wants us to plant and plant family. Thirdly, men protect. Men protect, which means we have to be there. We got to be involved with our wives, with our children, with our communities, with our church. Men protect. 1 Chronicles 12, 1 and 2 talked about the men that came to David while he was running from Saul. 1 Chronicles 12, 1 and 2 says, in verse 1 said, they were among the mighty men, helpers of the war. They were armed with bows. They could use both the right hand and left in hurling stones and shooting arrows out of a bow, even of Saul's brothers of Benjamin. So these are men who protect. These men, they protected with their hand. They could use both hands. They could, you know, they were ambidextrous. They were multidimensional. They could do various things. In 1 Samuel 30, y'all often hear me preach about this when in the context of David recovering all. But why did David have to, thank God for the grace of God. But why did David have to recover all? Let's look at that. 1 Samuel 30, 1 through 3. It came to pass when David and his men would come to Ziklag. Notice it said David and his men would come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captives that were there and slew them not. And slew not any, either small or great, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Now, why were the wives and the sons and daughters taken captive, y'all? Talk to me. Because they weren't there. Thank God they recovered. But the bottom line, all the men left. We can't ever have all the men being gone. Amen. I know we go on vacation. We got this. We got that. But, I mean, again, my wife being, again, raised by a single parent, strong black woman, you know, she getting to her mode. And so, you know, we got this. I don't need no women when we have our, I don't need no men around when we have our women's service. We got this. I'm like, there will never be a women's service in Right Direction where there's no men around. Amen. And the reason why the camp was burned down, the reason why all the women were captive and all the children were taken captive, because there were no men around. Because there were no men to protect. Men got to be around. And listen, and we got to be able to balance this stuff too, because sometimes I do all this stuff at one time. We got to be able to balance this stuff. I'm you know, I mean, the army, I know how to, you know, the army is the army, and the military is the military. But brothers, I don't think you should ever be so concerned. You're ever just so focused on making money that you're not there for your wife and your kids. You got to balance that some kind of way. Amen. Okay. Certain things happen when men, particularly fathers or husbands, aren't around. That would not happen if they were there. Or certain things don't happen. And so you're over here making money, but you're gone so much, or gone all the time, or for that, okay, you're making money, but everything over here is falling apart. You know, the Bob says, these men can use the left hand and the right hand. Sometimes you got to juggle. Got to do multiple things. Nehemiah 4, verse 14. He tells, when he's building the wall, he tells the men, and I really, I didn't look it up, but I think also in this context, he says, he told them to basically have a sword in one hand and basically a hammer in another. Okay, you're building the wall, but you're also ready to fight. Okay, I'm building, I'm earning money, but I still got to be prepared to fight for my family. I got to Protect my family. Got to protect my children. Nehemiah 4, verse 14 says, and I looked and rose up and said unto the noble and to the rulers, to the rest of the men, rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the word of the Lord. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible. Fight for your brethren, for your sons, for your daughters, for your wives, and for your houses. And that, this houses here is really meant your families. So sometimes we got to be prepared to fight for our families and our children and our houses and our daughters. And in order to do that, we got to be there. And so today we have, we got to be careful, brothers, that we don't become the at least brother. The at least brother. Okay? I warn women, don't settle for the at least man. Okay? What's the at least man? At least, man, we say, well, at least I'll pay child support. At least I got a job. You're not working to your maximum potential. At least I got a job. One woman will tell another husband, he ain't no good for you. Well, at least he don't beat me. And so if you're not careful, you'll settle for at least. And the reason why we'll settle for at least is because we've had low images. We've had low examples, low standards. So we get into the at least thing. And I'm telling you, being at least ain't enough. Amen. You know, this church, I don't want to be, well, you know, at least I got a member. A member. At least I got a member. You know. At least, you know, we got a building. It's falling apart. Can't pay for it. But at least, don't set your goals for being at least. You want to maximize your potential. Amen. We want to be everything we can be. The old saying in church, I may not be what I ought to be. Thank God what I used to be. Don't even settle on that. Go ahead and join the army. Be all you can be. Amen. Let's be everything we can be. Let's not settle for being at least. And again, the reason why we settle for at least is because many times we just haven't had great role models or great image. I told y'all when my kids were small, you know, I would buy them ice cream. You know, we'd go to ice cream. We was in Oklahoma, a place called Brahms. You go to ice cream, and then the kids, they get so busy eating ice cream, and they, you know, and I would look at them like, they look. Well, then I start going, well, say thank you. Well, thank you, Dad, for ice cream. Well, you need to thank me for this ice cream. My father didn't buy me no ice cream. Everybody don't have a dad to buy an ice cream. And they're like, okay. Thank Dad for the ice cream. And my wife had to help me. She said, baby, ain't no big deal you buying them ice cream. That's what fathers do. That's what parents do. Buy the kids ice cream.
Men are supposed to be leaders of their families and communities. Dr. Herbert Bailey encourages men to take their rightful place in their homes and become the men that God called you to be. Order this CD for your love gift of $7 or more. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Ask for Man to Man, the hands of a man. If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereports@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.